Log Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. And we're so excited this evening to be back on our radio broadcast for our study in the Word of God on tonight. We're going to get ready to open our devotion and call our Bible class to order right now. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer on today. And then we're going to go right on into our study. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 44. Let me write the date down. 25:21. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our Father hath told us what works thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and plantest them, how they didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under thy rise up against us. Under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hate us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. But thou hast cast out and put us to shame and goest not forth with our enemies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep a plenty for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and doest not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a diversion to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face have covered me, for the voice of him that reproach and blaspheme by reason of enemy and avenger. I just read you from Psalms 44, from the first verse to the 16th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song right now.
Thank you.
Humbly before your throne of grace this evening, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, God, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we confess this evening and we repent and we ask for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, this evening, Lord, we just come bowing down tonight, God. Just bowing down, God, before your throne, God, and in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for another opportunity to study your word, God. And I ask you right now, God, to open up our minds tonight and open up our hearts and our minds so we can understand your word clearly, God. Speak to our hearts, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm asking you on tonight, Lord, to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, God. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Then, Father, I ask you on tonight to empty me of myself, God, in the name of Jesus. Empty me out, God. Empty me out, God. Let me decrease, God, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you tonight. I thank you, God. I thank you for this powerful word, God. I thank you on tonight. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. I bind the strong man. Father, bind the strong man tonight. I bind up the strong man on tonight. And I bind up every demonic force. And I bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic. And I bind you up. I cast you out. And I command you to go from our lives and from this radio broadcast. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask it all. Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to study the Word of God on this evening. I give God praise, and I give God glory. I'm getting ready to start reading at Exodus chapter 23. Let me get it down. Exodus chapter 23. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to waste judgment. Neither shalt thou thy countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thy enemies are on his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter. And the innocent and the righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift for the gift, blindness the wise, and perverted the words of the righteousness. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruit thereof. But the 7 year thou shalt let it rest, and lie still, that the poor of the people may eat. And what they leave, the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard, and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thy ox and thy ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it thou comest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruit of the labor of thy labor which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of the ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field, 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with unleavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifices remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy hand, of thy land, thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see it a kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee in the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemy and an adversary unto thy adversary. For my angels shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite and the Canaanite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their work, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quiet break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my spirit before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thy enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolated and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little will I drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bonds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land unto your land, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Chapter 24. Moses and the elders on Mount Sinai. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar unto him, the hill, under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel, young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offering of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and for the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the Lord of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work for a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me unto the mount and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone,
and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come to them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. And praise the Lord. We start with chapter 23. Let me get these questions. How many years was Israel to sow the land and let it rest? How many years was Israel supposed to sow the land?
Was it 6 years?
It was 6 years. Mm-hmm. It was 6 years. Okay. I was trying to find it. Yeah, but it was 6 years. What were the three feasts that Israel was to observe each year? What was the three feasts day?
The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Harvest, and the Feast of the Ingathering.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am. That's it. So what did each feast mean? Do you know? What do each feast represent, rather?
Nash appeared before me empty, so I'm believing that the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and so basically, I guess he don't want them empty before him. So, you know, being fed, I think, a week or so in the Feast of the Harvest, the fruit of your labor which you have sown in the field, and the Feast of the Ingathering at the end of the year when you have gathered in the fruit of your labor from the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I
that unleavened,
got from.
Yeah, the unleavened bread is like the Feast of the Harvest. And the Feast of the Ingathering, it's like the unleavened bread. I don't know what I'm talking about. Remembrance of how God led them out of Egypt. The Feast of the Harvest, you know, the harvest, when you gather the fruit, it's the first fruit of every. Like if you gather in your food or vegetables or whatever, you got to give God 10% of that. The first harvest you get in, you got to give God 10% of that. And the Feast of the Ingathering is like thanking God for all the crops at the end of the harvest. At the end of the year, you was getting there. You was pretty close, because That's what it means, the Feast of the Ingathering. You've been thanking God for all the crops and all the fruits and stuff that he allowed you to get at the end of the year. So why would God drive the people of the land of Canaan out slowly? Why did he say he would drive them out slowly?
The Israelites can inherit the land.
Yeah. So that the Israelites can inherit the land, and slowly, so then the beast, some beast wouldn't take over, or let me see, something like that. I don't even know where it is. Oh, in verse 30, 29, it said, I would not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against them. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. So, I guess the Israelites is going to get the land. But that's what it is. He said he would drive them out little by little. So it wouldn't it won't be nobody there. And if it wasn't nobody there, then the beast would come and attack them. More beasts would come and attack them, something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, chapter 24. Who was Moses' assistant on Mount Sinai? Who was his assistant?
Was it Joshua?
Mm-hmm. It was Joshua. How long did Moses stay on the mount? On the mountain.
7 days.
40 days. I think it's 40 days and 40 nights. Let's see. He stayed up there a long time. Uh-huh. It's on in the last verse in chapter, in verse 18. Well, Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So these chapters right here, it was a pretty hard to understand for me. I went over because a lot of them was where God was telling them Israelites that don't get in with nobody to make false reports against other people, false statements or false witness against other people. And it says, judge not thy hand with the wicked to do to be an unrighteous witness. So he was telling them the laws that he didn't want them to do against the poor and even just other people. This was some of the laws that he had written, a lot of it, he wanted Moses to teach them these laws, and there is no way they could keep them all. There's because we're not perfect, so we couldn't. And they couldn't keep all of those laws. They were started saying, and what the Lord say for us to do, we will do. But they couldn't do it. They was lying because they couldn't do it. And we can't really keep them all to right today because, God, we're human. We're human. So, God, he was just trying to tell them a lot of things that's going to be happening. He didn't want them to do. He didn't want them to speak badly of the poor man. And he was trying to tell them, if your enemies, whatever it is, do something, you're supposed to help whatever it is of your enemy. You're supposed to do whatever you have to do and not say, I ain't studying her. I ain't studying him because he said this and that or he did this and that. But that first one is something because he's telling us not to gossip, not to speak bad against people. You know what I'm saying? Not just negativity on people. believe me, I've done it so many times. I've done it so many times. I'm trying every day not to say nothing bad about nobody. Believe me, nobody. But we human. And when you feel it coming up, you just have to let it go. Whatever it is, keep your mouth closed. Even if you think it and you don't speak it, I think God will honor that. But you still have to repent for negativity, because negativity will get you in big trouble with God. It'll get you in big trouble with God. I'll be sitting around and all kind of stuff pop up in my mind. I'll be saying, Lord, where did that come from? Why is I'm thinking about something like this and just all kind of stuff. And, you know, as we get older in our walk with God, we should do better. You know, we should want to do better, because gossip, in here, in the commentary I read, it said gossip is just like a murderer or a thief. I was like, Lord, have mercy. And we don't want to be that. We don't want to be that. Mm-mm. So I read a whole lot in one of Apostles, one of them old commentaries, and it said a lot about it. And it was saying that if you're a gossiper, you just as bad as a murderer, or you just as bad as a thief. And I just couldn't see that. But, you know, if you look at it, I mean, no one sin is greater than the other. You can say a cuss word and somebody could kill somebody and your sins will be the same. You know, it's just, I don't know. That's a hard thing, but we have to keep the commandments. Now, the laws, like that commentary say, we'll never be able to keep them. We'll never be able to keep the laws because we're human. If we was perfect, we will be able to keep them. Then it was talking about in 23 about the Lord's angel that he sent to lead Israel. That's why a lot of times I pray for our angels to be activated in our lives, because we do have an angel. And God has sent an angel. I always request Michael to come. I always request him to come, especially when I have a fight with a witch, because Michael is a warring angel. So I ask God to send him. We can't see him, but sometimes we can, because I have seen him. And it's different kinds of angels. We know that. Some you can see, they look like us, they might be white or black or whatever color, but there's some that you can't see. Mm-hmm. And it was in how God sent them to lead the Israelites through the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites. In the Jebusites, he said, and I will cut them off. And then he was warning the Israelites not to be entangled with them, because they was going to make them get in trouble and sin. Sometimes God will move folk out of your way. He'll move them out of your way because he don't want them to make you stumble. He'll move them. Mhm. So anybody have questions of any of this? I don't want to just be talking and rambling and somebody want to know something. So it says keep these four.
I'm sorry. I have a question.
Okay.
So where did the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacle come in at?
Those are what we just talked about. That's what they're called today. That's what they're called today.
Okay, yes, yeah, that's the answer I came up with. But, you know, reading it in the Word, it says the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and then it talks about, where is it? Let me find. And then it talked about the Feast of the Harvest, and then the Feast of the Ingathering. So I was just trying to. So the Feast of the Harvest is like the Feast of Pentecost.
Let me read this to you. This is my know if this is the part or not. It says, to a people and a priesthood so disposed, it became therefore necessary to give precepts upon precepts against curing in food, and especially against, maybe this not it, against its introduction in their religious festivals. It is remarkable that this prohibition is twice connected with the offering of the first fruit, a festival particularly privileged as an occasion of domestic and national joy. Wait a minute, this might not be what I'm looking for. Just give me a second. That was, what verse is that in?
Is it 10 and 16 and 23, chapter 23?
Okay. Three times a year, all the Hebrew males were to appear before the Lord in Jerusalem. There were three feasts that were to be celebrated: the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Passover, you will recall, was instituted in memory of Israel's preservation from the last plague brought against the land of Egypt in her deliverance from the land of bondage. Before the people of Israel entered into the promised land, these were to discuss. They were discussed in detail. Oh, and that's all it says about that. But I read some more stuff. Let me see. Wait a minute. Because it explains so good to me about the feast days. But I have the book. I have a book with all the feast days and everything in what it means. But I can't get it in here. Let me see, 15. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread was in March. The Feast of the Harvest Week, or Pentecost, at Whit Sunday. The Feast of the Ingathering, or the Tabernacle, in September. The Passover is here called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That's the Passover. It was the first and the greatest of the feasts. The last clause of the verse, "None shall appear before me empty," applies not to the Passover exclusively, as might be inferred from the English version, but to all the feasts. No man was to appear at any of them without suitable offerings. Women were not required, but they might attend the solemn feast if they pleased. This taught them to detect cruelty in any imitation of idolatry rites. Thou shalt not see a kid in his mother's milk. Whatever be the meaning of this prohibition, there can be no doubt of its importance, as it is thrice enforced in the same word. It is here the last of the judgments delivered to Moses during his first interview with God on the mount. On the renewal of the broken tables and solemn admonition of covenant, the same words are repeated. And lastly, the holiness of the Lord as exhibited in abstaining from the forbidden food immediately precedes the Maimonides, a Jewish expositor, considered it merely a precept against an unwholesome food, but I'm going to have to dig more into the past, so I'm just going to get the feast books. I should have had it down here with me. It's upstairs by my bed. But we need to know more about it, because it only, if we don't know, it's only because I got two commentaries here, and it's just a little paragraph about these feast days that let me know that they really didn't believe in it, whoever wrote the commentary, or they didn't practice it. Because it's not a lot on it, but I got a whole book on the feast days. So it's got to be, I mean, I had read it before, but it's got to be a way to make us, everybody, understand how important these feast days are. Very, very important. We're supposed to be keeping them every year, just like they was doing it. And then it's a part in there where it says that they saw God. They really didn't see God. They saw maybe his shadow. I believe they saw a shadow of God, just like I think it was Moses or one of them saw God's shadow, but they didn't never see God, because nobody have ever seen God. And even with spirits, I've seen, like I saw my daddy after he passed, and I didn't only see him. It was Maria and Fabiana. Fabiana is the one said, ain't that granddaddy right there? And you could see the form of his body. You didn't see no eyes, nothing like that, but you knew it was him because he was tall and his build and everything was there. And I just said, yeah, that's him. And he walked right on through that wall. Me, Maria, and Fabiana saw this in the kitchen and went on. That's when he had passed, maybe 2 days after he had passed. So I feel like you could see the spirit of a man. You could see a spirit of a person if the Lord allowed you to see it. But I don't feel like, I know they didn't see God, but they may have just seen the spirit man or whatever it was they saw. They say they saw God, mm-hmm, but nobody has ever seen him and lived to tell about it. So that was another thing that I read in there. And there's a couple of more things. Anybody else have any questions or comments that'll make it come up? Let me see. And it lets you know, too, how powerful the blood is. The blood is powerful because they were sprinkling it over the altar and over other stuff. And then God sent the angel before them. But it says that Feast of Unleavened Bread was in March. And the Tabernacle was in September. And I remember when I was married to Keith, and he had that church down there, in Mount Vernon, that new church, they hadn't finished with it, and we were still in an old church. But they would bring us, because he was the pastor and wife, they brought us in the harvest season in September. They brought us a whole lot of food and fruits and stuff like that to our house and stuff, and to the church first. And they brought canned goods and meats yeast and all kind of stuff. And I guess that was the first fruit of what they got in their gardens and stuff. They brought a lot of stuff. They brought a lot of stuff. And I didn't know what it meant then. You know, they even had the service for it. They had a harvest day service, but I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what that meant at that time. But I can remember them doing it. The Lord let me see it just like it was yesterday. But I didn't know what it meant. And I know a whole lot of other people, if you wasn't brought up that way in your church, you don't know what that means. But in them times, you're supposed to gather the first fruit of the harvest. So that's when you plant a garden, and when it's time to take those tomatoes and greens and cabbages and stuff out of there, whatever you get, you're supposed to take a tenth of it to the man of God or to the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. Any more questions or comments, anybody? Okay, let me find something else. Okay. And it was saying, it was like they was talking about how the children of Israel complain about the food, and that's this word I can't hardly pronounce because I can't really hardly see it. Epicurism in food. It's like food, when you eat, it says flesh, but I'm saying food, and it's saying food in the next sentence, but how the children of Israel just turned their back on God because they thought they weren't going to get no food or no flesh to eat. And God was saying that's going to, it's like the, your belly going to be the death of you because you're turning yourself against me because you're hungry. Because you're saying you should have left us in Egypt, but you bring us to the desert to die, to the wilderness to die. And you getting upset with God because you want some meat, some quail. Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing. And they was crying and getting angry and fretful and angry and stuff. And God didn't like that just because they wanted some meat. Mm-mm. And that's why today we have to be so careful about food. Because food ain't, I'm telling you, it's, God say everything is good he made, and I believe that. But you can just eat, and it's not good for you. It's not. So, I mean, God made everything good and pleasant for us. But if you can overindulge in anything, and it's not good for you. So they was expounding on that in the commentary, too. So do you all want to go back over this again on Thursday so you can get a good understanding of it?
I think it would be good. Everybody, it'll be beneficial.
Yeah. And then it's got to like the laws concerning the land Sabbath. That's in chapter 23 around in the verse 10 and 11 verses about the Sabbath and stuff like that. And it's talking about the 6 years that thou shalt sow thy land and shall gather in the fruit thereof, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat what they leave, the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. So they saying do the same thing with your grapes and your wine and stuff in the olive yard for your olive. And then it's a lot more to this. I just, these commentaries, like I say, didn't have a whole lot with it, but I'm going to get the feast, my feast book out and bring it out and just study on it maybe tomorrow and on Thursday. What we can do is go back over this and make sure everybody understand as much as they can, because this is very important. The feast days are very important, and they come every year. And the Lord intends for it to be generational, because a lot of people, they keep the feast days. A lot of people, you know, is it Kojic? One of those things, one of them, they keep the feast days, or Pentecost, Apostolic, somebody keeps the feast days religiously, and you should. You should, but it, because we were raised in Baptist churches and now in, like, Pentecost, Apostolic, like that, we just really learning how to do the Sabbath and stuff like that, where people that I know been doing it for years. I mean, and God will bless you if you keep it. Believe me, he will. He'll bless you. The devil try to tell you every Saturday that you got something to do and somewhere to go. But, honey, when you rest that body, when you rest your body, it's good. Because Sunday is the first day of the week. If you rest your body, you gonna know it. I mean, you don't, some people go to church on the Sabbath, on that Saturday. And a lot of people say they 7 day Adventist, but that's not it. A lot of people don't know. You just be a Jesus people, and whatever Jesus do, that's what you do. It don't make you no 7 day Adventist. You just try to keep with the word, what the word say. His commandments. He said, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Mm-hmm. It said for us not to do no work on the Sabbath, but you don't have to do work. Some people go to church. You know, if you're doing the will of God, I feel like God will honor that. But you can't be out here just messing around on the Sabbath day. I'm just, you know, telling y'all that because I want it out for me, and most of y'all know that. You just can't be doing around like you want to do. Now, I have done it, believe me, and repented like a dog. I sure have, and repented to the Lord. But the older I get, the more I know that God wants me to stay in this house on the Sabbath day. And it's hard. It's very hard because right now I don't get, the sun will go down to 9 o'clock at night and it'd be time to go to bed. So, but God said that he know what it is. So he, you know, he intends for us to do it. So I don't grapple with it. If I have to run out 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the evening, I run out and ask God to forgive me if it's something important. Mm-hmm. And if I got a minister like I had before on Sabbath day, God honors me that because I was praying for somebody and trying to help them through a situation. So, but I didn't go to the store. I didn't go to the mall shopping and all that kind of stuff. No, he don't want us doing that. I don't even wash dishes. I try not to even cook on the Sabbath day. I already have it ready. Or he'll eat a lunch meat sandwich. But it's important. I just want everybody to know it's important. And we'll talk about it again on Thursday evening. That way I'm going to get a chance to go over it much more in that. And we're just going to talk about the feast day. So we can. It's important. It's important in being the months of the year that they had back then. I want to get those names so I can let y'all know what they are, because we should know them. I did know them by heart. But a lot of that stuff, I don't feel like going through all that paper, but I got it, believe me. I got it all. Mm-hmm. But anyway, anybody have any more concerns or questions If not, I'm going to get ready to close out.
Well, I just wanted to add a little something.
Okay.
I think it was one of the questions that one of the questions where basically it was just asking a question about why basically did God drive the people from Canaan or the land of Canaan? And it just kind of, I guess by me reading it, it just kind of stuck out, you know what I'm saying, and just kind of reminded me how God is, and it just kind of, I guess, made me kind of realize that God was that way back then, and he's the same God today, but because, you know, I know we get frustrated at times, you know, in things that's not for us or things that God chooses that's not for us or good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, basically what I'm saying is, you know, how he works in our life is little by little, and how he clears things out of our life little by little. And we might not like that, but just think, if God pour, it's just like he pour something on us, if he snatch it all right then and there, it's, you know, we wouldn't know how to take it. You get what I'm saying? That's why we see people, you know, questioning God and, you know, I don't like God, I hate God, why God, you know, I have all these questions, because sometimes he take things clean out your life. If he know that the next turn you make, it's the end of you. And he don't want you, because he got something to do for you to do. So basically, you know, he do things little by little. And I just thank God how careful he be sometime in my life, you know. And it just go back to, you know, God wanting Israel to increase. So basically, he wanted us to increase. He want us to shine.
Right.
Little by little, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in the process of him doing what he doing, you get what I'm saying? Like he wanted them to take over the land little by little. So, I mean, he said certain things, and he made certain things happen, and he wanted them to grow. He cares for their growth little by little, how God cares for us, little by little. I just like the little by little part. And I just thank God for that, taking his time to shape me and mold me in the woman I am today, because if he did that, I wouldn't understand certain things and how it impact my life. You get what I'm saying? Little by little, I just thank God how he just stand out in my life, little by little. It's, you know, ain't no questions that if he don't do nothing else for me, I just thank him. Little by little, though, God, thank you for that. So that's all I have just had to add to this. I just like that little by little and how he, you know, they took over the promised land little by little. I just like that.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you have to think about that, because if he would do something big, we wouldn't be able to handle it. We wouldn't be able to handle it. We'd be in shock, everything else. I mean, I get a piece of money sometime, and it blow my mind sometimes. I can't hardly take it. So, you know, if he gave me $1 trillion, honey, he had to give it to me little by little. That's how God do, because he know us. He know the mind that we have. He know the focus that we have. So I understand what you're saying. He have to shape us and mold us little by little. He have to, you know, he can't do it all at one time, because our mind not ready for it. I understand. I definitely understand. But he was just taking that land to give to them little by little. He didn't want to do it all at one time. Amen. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Amen. So we're going to get ready to close out. God bless each one of y'all. I thank and praise God for, and I don't take it for granted that you all get on every Tuesday and Thursday and Friday night. I thank God for you all. I really do. I really, really do. I appreciate you. I don't take what y'all do for granted. You could go to any other radio broadcast or prayer line or Facebook, whatever. But I really appreciate each one of y'all, and God bless y'all. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to cover them in the shed blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them, Lord, from all hurt, harm, or danger. And bless them, God, with the blessing they stand in need of on tonight. In the name of Jesus, keep them, God. I ask you and I thank you for traveling grace and mercy on tonight, God. Just cover them in the blood. Protect them, God. Be a hedge of protection all around them, God. Wherever they are and whatever they're doing, God, bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and bless Apostle Dean in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you all. I love you. Have a good night. Have a good, good night. Amen.
You too.
We love you. Good night.
Love you too. Good night.
Love you.
Good night.
Love you. Good night. Good night, baby.
Love you. Good night.
Good night. Love you, son. Good night.